Hi, welcome to Jazz Rhythm, an exploration of the lore, culture, and personalities of early jazz. I'm Dave Radlauer. This is the third in a series presenting Benny Goodman's Kingdom of Swing, an in-depth consideration of the jazz clarinet player and bandleader whose music shaped and defined the swing era. In this hour, we'll hear some classic and very unusual recordings from the Benny Goodman Orchestra, plus several stellar small band recordings ranging from the mid-30s through the mid-60s, like this China Boy. Jazz classic China Boy, a Benny Goodman quintet of 1955 with vibraphonist Lionel Hampton, who was with Goodman intermittently from 1936 on, and pianist Mel Powell, who for a long time played and arranged for Goodman. Welcome to Benny Goodman's Kingdom of Swing on Jazz Rhythm, Jumping Swing, Classic Blues, and Hot Jazz, Old and New. I'm Dave Radlauer. During this hour, I'll be sharing classic and unusual Goodman recordings and discussing Benny's personality and career. That said, this is also a program of great stuff that deserves hearing but just wouldn't fit into any other parts of the series. As a musician and a personality, Benny Goodman was complex and had many aspects. He was a jazz musician who was a major influence shaping swing music, an iconic and deeply loved artist whose popularity outlived the brief swing era from the mid-30s to the mid-40s. A very complicated and somewhat odd man who was superbly talented, but from what I've heard, rather difficult to work for. A true virtuoso of the clarinet, he also had a very successful second career in classical music. And Benny Goodman did for his instrument what Louis Armstrong had done for the trumpet, making clarinet an assertive lead instrument, capable of improvising on or completely reinventing harmonic, melodic, or rhythmic musical elements. In short, he was a brilliant, innovative artist, and never more so than in his small bands, and that's where we're going to start. The Goodman trios, quartets, and sextets reshaped the jazz landscape. His combos were a popular and critical success, launching a new form of chamber jazz in the mid-1930s. The technical excellence of these bands, particularly his nearly telepathic rapport with pianist Teddy Wilson, and such innovations as bringing into jazz the vibraphone of Lionel Hampton and electric guitar of Charlie Christian, created improvised music at a new level of clarity and precision. Here are a couple of classic examples of the quartet from 1938. With Teddy Wilson, Hampton, and on the first, the brilliant Opus 1/2, the drummer's Dave Tough. Then a radio appearance by the Goodman Quartet with little-known drummer Buddy Schultz. Now, Schultz successfully copies the pounding, hard-driving style of Gene Krupa on I'm a Ding Dong Daddy from Dumas. Yes, that does seem a rather odd choice, but it was a popular tune at the time that was selling well for the Benny Goodman Quartet. Thank you. I'm a Ding Dong Daddy, taken at a scorching tempo in a live radio performance by the Goodman Quartet. That was little-known drummer Buddy Schultz successfully copying the over-the-top style of Gene Krupa. I suspect the excitement of live broadcasts often provoked those fast tempi because I noticed that Benny's broadcast air checks are often much faster than his studio recordings. The success and popularity of Benny's trio and quartet in the years 1936, 37, and 38 opened a market for other small band sessions from Ellington, Tommy Dorsey, Raymond Scott, and others. In 1939, Goodman launched his sextet, inspired by the then-innovative sound of Charlie Christian's amplified guitar. The streamlined, unison riffing of this sextet was a unique sound. It presented chamber jazz at the next level of precision, collaboration, and sophistication, introducing a more modern combo sound that opened the way for a new crop of late swing-era small bands from John Kirby, Count Basie, and Artie Shaw, among others. Now, while both these sextet numbers list Goodman as the composer, Benny himself later admitted that most of the tunes credited to him over the years were really the ideas of others. And Charlie Christian was generally the source of most of the sextet tunes. Gilly is a typical and deceptively simple example, which along with a terrific Breakfast Feud features an excellent ensemble and some fine solo work from trumpeter Cootie Williams and the underrated tenor saxist George Auld. Thank you. Breakfast Feud, which I've always thought an awfully clever title, featured trumpeter Cootie Williams and saxist George Auld, as did Gilly. And like a number of Benny Goodman recordings, Gilly went unreleased for a decade. I've not really found a good explanation for why some of his excellent tunes remained inexplicably unissued until the 1950s and later. Maybe the record companies thought the market saturated, because Benny certainly was prolific in the studio, in concert, and on radio. During his lifetime, he made some 5,000 commercial recordings, selling in excess of 100 million records. This is Jazz Rhythm. I'm Dave Radlauer. Thanks for joining me to explore Benny Goodman's Kingdom of Swing. Still to come this hour are a tiny taste of his classical sound, a rare vocal performance by Benny, a couple of his most popular records, and some rare and unique original items ranging from 1935 to 1976. By the way, you might notice I'm emphasizing the hot music and jazz side of Benny Goodman. Well, for one thing, that's my personal preference. But looking over the catalog of the Goodman Orchestra, I do find a high proportion of up-tempo music and dance tunes compared to the bands of, say, Glenn Miller or Tommy Dorsey. And this is particularly true in the years before 1939. Yes, Goodman did record plenty of sweet and romantic music, stuff like And the Angels Sing. Moonglow, I Surrender Dear, and Memories of You. But he did it well, I think, and kept hot, up-tempo music and combo jazz central in his repertory. The question often arises whether swing music is jazz, and how does it differ from big band dance music? And I think the distinction is that Benny kept the jazz elements strong in his swing music, improvisation, head arrangements, hot rhythms, and soloing in both his large and small bands. Goodman avoided stock arrangements and routine, read-it-from-the-page blandness that I think limited many of the big band orchestras, which by comparison were playing very good dance music, lots of sweet music, but not jazz, and hence not swing. Just ahead is the 1935 Madhouse. Now hear the rhythm section of pianist Jess Stacy, guitarist Alan Roos, bassist Harry Goodman, and drummer Gene Krupa blend particularly well, supporting a fine Jimmy Mundy arrangement. First, though, is this bugle call rag. This is from a live radio air check of 1937. It's typically faster than and superior to the studio version and has a terrific, energetic, rhythmic thrust. There's lots of great soloing, and Benny tears into his solo with coiled spring tension. Trumpeter Ziggy Elman gives the call to arms, launching bugle call rag. Thank you. Madhouse from 1935, one of the few Goodman records with the brilliant trumpeter Bunny Berrigan, and a scorching live radio rendition of Bugle Call Rag. This is Jazz Rhythm. I'm Dave Radlauer. Here's a true Benny Goodman rarity. Herb Kane was a Pulitzer Prize-winning newspaper writer whose four decades of daily columns in the San Francisco Chronicle made him Mr. San Francisco. Kane was a great fan of Goodman, who played for his 60th birthday party in 1976 with a seven-piece pickup band. It was quite an event. Present were such celebrities as Merv Griffin, actors Clint Eastwood and Kirk Douglas, and writer George Plimpton. From that performance, only 100 long-playing vinyl albums were pressed. Here's Avalon.
Thank you.
A 1976 Avalon, one of Benny Goodman's signature tunes, from an extremely limited edition LP recorded live in San Francisco. More of that performance and other rare vinyl during the next program in this series, Benny Goodman's Kingdom of Swing from Jazz Rhythm, Jumping Swing, Classic Blues, and Hot Jazz, Old and New. I'm Dave Radlauer, and thanks for being with me exploring the significant musical, stylistic, and cultural achievements of this remarkable musician. There's more about Benny's life, music, and career, and links to the World Wide Web of Jazz at the Jazz Rhythm website. Jazz Hot Big Step. Now that's all one word. JazzHotBigStep.com. Benny Goodman also had considerable success playing classical music for clarinet. He became a noted soloist performing and recording the classical clarinet literature of Mozart, Brahms, and Weber, along with modern 20th century composers. As early as 1939, Goodman premiered Béla Bartók's trio Contrasts, and beginning in the late 40s, he commissioned or premiered clarinet concertos by Aaron Copland, Paul Hindemith, and Morton Gould. In 1949, seeking to develop greater interpretive skill and character in this style, Benny began studying classical technique and tone in earnest. And he seems to have worked very hard and had high aspirations. To become a great interpreter of that repertory at the level to which he aspired required moving beyond mere technical excellence. And by most accounts, Goodman never became a great classical musician. He achieved very high technical skill, and he'd always had that, and his name recognition aided him in gaining considerable success. For a couple of decades, Goodman performed with many prestigious conductors, symphony orchestras, and chamber music ensembles. But ironically, what seemed to be lacking in his performance was looseness. He seemed unable to relax and let go as a classical clarinet soloist. And it's truly ironic and maybe just a little sad that what eluded him in the classical field was precisely that relaxation and flow that had made Benny Goodman such an extraordinary jazz musician. Yet, Goodman's formal training did yield other long-term benefits. Learning what's called classical embouchure probably aided him in keeping his superb tone and retaining strength and flexibility in the muscles of his mouth late into his life.